Fireball. Thursday night footy. It is Melbourne and the Brisbane Lions, and on AFL Nation, you're with Matt.
Gorn worked his way to the front, taken by Petrarca to Neil Bullen. Want to defend it off, then goes himself. Side of the boots, puts it through. It looked accidental at first look. May just tapped the ball out of Danaher's hand, but it was enough for a 50-metre penalty. Now this will bring Big Joe right to the goal mouth, and bang, puts it through at the city end. Second goal, Brisbane. But Bailey Fritz just inside 50. Onto the boot it goes. It's a terrific kick.
Danaher from 50 launched it. That's when he's at his best.
McSluggage bursting his way through. Had no one to kick it to. Howes off the ground. Coughs it up. Picked up by Fletcher around the body. He's a real little goal sneak, this man, Jasper Fletcher. Rayner snap round the body. Centering ball. Lohman can get the crumbs here. And then trundles it through for a goal. Mays in there. Plenty of players around the football. McSluggage found a little bit of space. Oh. And then a secondary soccer kick. Fell to ground. And then Oliver's hands was snaffled by Cameron. Cameron read it better. Round the corner, kicks the goal, and that's the knockout punch right between the eyes.
McCarthy kept it out in front and then goes and wins the ball. Hand pass to Bailey, put down your glasses.
Answer.
Straight away.
Got it to Bailey, blazing through the middle of the G, and then lakes out, found Charlie, took the mark, turned around, tucked it out of the arm, charged into goal, bang! Three for Charlie!
After the big mark, can he kick a big goal? From 47 metres out, he hit it pretty well. And they've come good late, Melbourne.
He would have thought, I'm a chance to get skittled here, but he stood underneath it.
It's a win to restore the credentials of the Brisbane Lions. They come into Melbourne, they take down a form team, and they're fresh to go about their business and rebuild their year. The margin to be determined by the Van Rooyen kick, it hits the posts. It is a 22-point victory for the Lions over Melbourne in front of 43,098 fans.
That was how the team, the magnificent team of AFL Nation, called the action last night. Brisbane getting it done by 22 points in front of a crowd just above 43,000. They now go to 2-3 with a couple of big weeks to come. Geelong at the Gabba at GWS in the next couple of weeks for the Lions. And for Melbourne, Kingy, well, they go to the bye and address some issues that have probably been building for a little bit. And they will, after playing a lot of footy in a short space of time, gather their thoughts. 1-300-736-736 is the Mimosa Homes open line. And it's a very good morning to those of you joining us for the first time. It's our review of Melbourne taking on the Lions for the Drain Man. Drain problems, call the experts. The Drain Man, the best analyst in football. How'd you see it?
I thought it was the best coaching performance that I've seen from Chris Fagan for a long time.
Right.
They've won some big games. And they've won bigger games. They've won finals. They've been on show and in the prime time spotlight for a couple of years now, there to win it, and right at the pointy end. But last night, I thought that the tactical brilliance that he showed, first team that's put meaningful time into Christian Petrarca and what he brings post stoppage. So he's there for the clearance, and if Melbourne don't win the ball, or they do, he tends to leak forward. We saw him do that against Port Adelaide and have great success. Mm. And Neil Bourne or one of those others will come up and assume his role as a midfielder and do the defensive actions, and he'll sneak forward and impact the game. Forward of centre is the best player in the comp. So to see them put a wingman to him at stoppages, time and time again, it was Berry, it was Fletcher, it was Archie, yeah. It was whoever was there would do the job. So big tick there tactically. Second thing that I think he put Charlie Cameron further from goal than just out of the goal square, Charlie. And that had a big impact on the talls because it meant that Lever and May had to play on Hipwood and Danaher. So I thought that was great coaching. It's nothing remarkable, but it's just things that we hadn't seen before. And then the uncontested mark game, which I don't really like this style of footy, Cornsey, but I just think, you know, the way that they set this game up, it forced Melbourne to play Brisbane's game rather than the other way around. So in the end, they brained them at stoppage. You know, that first three quarters, they were plus 15 points. It was 10 scores to 4 from clearance, and it was game over. So it was simple as that for me.
How much do we overreact with Melbourne? And they spoke about the games that they've played in a short space of time, the 2 weeks in Adelaide, 3 games in 13 days, I think it was. But if this was, I don't know, if this was the Western Bulldogs or Essendon, we'd be pretty scathing on that performance just because they were smashed in every facet. Like, there was not really a positive that you could walk away from that game from Melbourne. But how much do we factor that in with their past performance this year? Because they've been going pretty well. Their win-loss would suggest they're going really well. The performance against Port Adelaide, maybe, you know, they should have lost that. If you look at the numbers, Adelaide, we're not sure, you know, what sort of side they are. And then they turned up and performed like that last night. So how much of a dent has it put in Melbourne's aspirations on how you see them?
Oh, well, you have to judge what you see. I mean, we can't be worried about what the brand is, what the jumper is. You've just got to judge what you see. And I said it before the break, you know, most teams at the top of the tree at the moment have got some issues. You know, Melbourne are not the full book yet without the footy. Right. We talk a lot about, you know, Lever and May, and sometimes we get consumed and the eye can tell you something and the numbers can tell you something else. They haven't been a great intercept team in terms of between the arcs so far this season. They haven't been the team that denies ball movement, you know, D50 to inside 50 for the opposition like they have been over the past 3 to 4 years this year. We're only a month in. They've stacked a couple of wins. They're in a good position. If they keep going at this ratio, they finish top four again. And that's all they're probably trying to do. But they're not. They're miles from where they've been. There's been better versions of Melbourne. And they are evolving, Cornsy. So I think we've got to be a little bit patient. They're working on some ball movement stuff. So maybe that opens them up a little bit more the other way. You know, to get some offensive gains, you've got to give up something. So they've given up a bit of their defence. And maybe they're still evolving. Mm. So I think we're going to be quick to judge. We can only judge what we see. But they were smashed in tight last
smashed.
Night.
Yeah, so absolutely. Smashed clearance. Anything to do with contest, smashed at ground ball, plus 21. Smashed in tackles, plus 30. And you wonder when you see them like that last night. So what's their real weapon? Like, if Petrarca isn't streaming inside forward 50 and being that damaging threat forward of centre, what is it? Is there any weapon off half-back that you're worried about? Rivers is really good, solid player. McVee the same, but when he's doing a job, you lose that drive. We know Lever and May are there and their weapons and gone, but do they have as many X-factor players? Like, you look at what Brisbane have done and you can sort of rattle off 5 or 6 X-factor players capable of ripping that game away from you. Just not sure you see that with Melbourne, as much as a lot of their players like Windsor and Sparrow and Rivers have improved. Chandler's another one. They've all improved, but do they have enough A graders to go where they need
they
to
have
go?
A grade. I mean, I think we're going too far too early. They all had a bad night
so
at the same time.
Talk to me about their genuine A graders. So Oliver's not an A grader at the moment. He's going awful.
No, he's been pretty good. I think
last 2 weeks been awful, and he's not clearly. And whether it's the finger and the glove and the dislocation, the prep rate, whatever it is, he's not anywhere near the player that he's been.
He's been a top five player in our comp for 5 years.
Any of his possessions last night, did any of them worry you?
No, he had an off night last night, so I agree with you on that. I think Gawn's a top liner. Viney's having a very, very good season. Petrarca had a poor performance last night, but he's been exceptional.
Give you those.
So there's three of their
and Fritch, I'll give you.
Neil Bullen.
Yeah.
He'd be in your All-Australian team if you had a meeting tomorrow.
He'd probably be in the squad, yep.
I think McVee's been terrific. I don't think there's been an issue with him. I think May and Lever, where's the problem there?
No problem there.
There's about eight players.
I don't think Viney is a player capable of ripping it away from you. I don't think McVee
He's been better than that this year.
I don't think Neil Bullen is going to rip it away from
you. But he has.
Like,
I watched you talk about Neil Bullen the last couple of weeks.
But that's against the likes of Adelaide, who are a poor side.
Port Adelaide?
He was great against Port Adelaide. It's the best game I've seen him play. But when you're putting him up against Cameron, when you're putting him up against McCluggage, what Rayner did last night, what Zorko can do, what Neil can do, what Harris Andrew, what Dunkley did last night. So I'm just posing the question.
No,
do
I think
they have enough
been,
threats?
I think they got some more credits than that. I think we just have to sometimes say, okay, is that performance an aberration? I think it is. I think they've been one of the most consistent teams across the last 5 years. They went out in straight sets by some heartbreaking opportunities in front of goal, really. But let's talk about the winners for a moment, Cornsy. Is that the best game you've seen Cam Rayner play?
Yeah, well, I've got him written down. So this guy's really frustrated me for a while because of that reason last night. Like, what could they be if he can produce that every, you know, couple of weeks this year? Now, it's not going to be every week. He plays a difficult position and he's not quite there yet as a Christian Petrarca consistent player, but he has all those attributes to do that. I mean, 10 inside 50s, his clearance work, he had 9, 6 of them in about the first 15 minutes last night. If he can be the one that comes up to stoppage, like the goal he has done, like many others have done that we continually speak about, what could it mean for Brisbane?
Yeah. He's one of my boys. He's one of the tackle breakers. He's right up there over the last couple of years. So that sort of frame, that sort of strength.
Power
coming out of clearance, they just have maximum damage. So when you've got Rayner playing, even if he's 70% of that going forward on a consistent basis, if you've got Neil McCluggage, who's always high damage, and Rayner, things change pretty quick.
And Dunkley as well, like just
Dunkley's your solid
for the balance, for the balance of the midfield. And then I don't know what they're going to get from Ashcroft coming back in, but he's certainly going to help. It's looking a lot better. Now, as I said, the next 2 weeks are really difficult. Geelong and Jedibor Est, we're going to find out a bit more about where they sit against those two sides as well.
But they've always had this talent, Corns. This is what, so I keep coming back to, what was different about last night? And what was different about last night was the tactical nous of Fagan in his coach's box. So it's not all Chris. Let's spread the load. Let's spread the love. That coach's box, which I think has never been wrapped in its life. I can't remember one person saying, hey, great Mark's, coaching performance,
great,
Chris
well
Fagan.
Well done, Mark Stone.
Stoney's not right. Even there. But
they've been
that's my point.
Unheralded for a long time. But they had a group that had been together for a long time. They've lost a couple of those in the off-season last year. But you're right. I reckon they looked at the Adelaide game. We were lucky enough to speak to Zorko prior to the game, just from the boundary line of the MCG, about an hour and 40 minutes before the game. And I said, did you ever look at what Adelaide did last week? They were boring. They were slow. What are you going to do? He said, well, we just have to take them on. We have to. And he knew something that we didn't, just with their ability to take those 130 uncontested marks that you speak of. So, yeah, you're right, though. I just speak about it last night. Chris Fagan gets smashed when they lose games for those reasons, and one of those games was against Melbourne after they had a big lead last year and they didn't defend it well enough. So let's pump him up. And he was pretty calm as well when they were 0-3, which I thought was important. He said, look, we're not going as bad as what you think we are going.
Oh, no. He was lying to us there. I'm not giving him credit for that.
But he was calm, though. But he was calm because you can't panic for your players. Like, you're the guy. You've got to look like you're in control. And I thought he looked like he was in control. And I thought he instilled some belief into the group, even though they were going pretty poorly. But they had a huge lead against the Blues and lost by a point. They went to Fremantle. I'm not sure how many teams are going to win in Perth against Freo this year. So that, and then the Collingwood game perhaps turned a bit of a corner for them. But I thought his attitude and his demeanour, it was pretty calm.
Well, one of my pet hates is when you smash them with ruck work, with hit-out work, and it has no influence on clearance. I'm not a midfielder, was never a midfielder, and I don't understand the science of tap work to clearance, right? I think it's one of the greatest myths in our game, right? That you can win the hit-outs. What is it? Was it 47-22? And you can lose first possession, and you can get smashed at clearance. That's a three quarter time now. -15 at clearance, Melbourne. Yet they were +25 hit outs. So you got a guy who can direct the ball where you want it to go, yet you lose it. I have real trouble understanding how those two don't come together.
Well, it's another credit to Brisbane's midfield to be able to just pick them off like that. I mean, every midfielder wants a dominant ruckman. You'll speak about it. We're seeing what even Soldo has done for Port Adelaide after they haven't had a ruckman. He's been important for them. But you're right, they got Gawn 51 hit-outs to 26 against McInerney, and they got smashed. That is a frustration. But once again, credit to the stoppage work from the Lions, the way that they scouted this, and the way that they can win clearance off the back of that. And it does beg the question whether ruckmen are overrated, which we've said for a while. I don't think Gawn's overrated because of the stuff he does around the ground as well. But genuine tap ruckman, you just would never pay big money for ruckman. I wouldn't anyway.
So the Cameron role, I don't want to see Charlie other goal scorer again. I don't. I just don't. I think it works better when you've got your tools down there. Because what it did do, it meant that Lever and May, had to, one of them had to come out of the goal square. So they lose that 360-degree intercept capability. And they're gettable on a fast lead. That dropping, dipping ball that comes from a clearance, the forwards always react first to that.
Yeah, and Hipwood got one in the first quarter.
They got about four in the first half. Yeah, you know, a meter's just too much, and there's not much you can do as a defender. You can be the best we've ever seen. You really can't recover from that position. But if that's Charlie Cameron in the goal square and May and Lever are 30 or 40 from goal, they can fall back onto that footy. Yeah. So I think they've learned a big lesson that Charlie's still going to have impact. Charlie had 10 score involvements last night. He was the number one score involvement player on the field, playing a role that he hadn't played for months. Mm. Well, not months, for 30 games.
So he finally got his teeth sorted after Chris Fagan said that's been a huge issue for him.
Fang related,
he's got his teeth knocked out. Apparently there's been all sorts of drama for him in the off season, but looked like he had those sorted. What about when he just mocked Jake Lever? Just took a mark.
I love that.
99.9% of players go back and have a shot, and he's just gone, nah, I'm going to make a certainty of this. It's going to be a foot race. And poor old Jake Lever. You ever been in that position? You were quite fast as a player.
I chased your brother like that one time.
It is embarrassing. And he just ran into the goal square and slotted it.
Yeah, the funniest part of that is it took Eric Hipwood six steps to realise he's not giving the handball.
Well, didn't Eric start well? And then he didn't touch the footy in the second half. So there's still some improvement for the Lions. Don't worry about that. So you can have your say. Send us a text, 0433981116. Wouldn't mind speaking about Harrison Petty on the other side of this. But it's our review for Drain Relining. It's the no-dig, no-drama way to rehabilitate your assets. The Drain Man. We're in the Kogan Mobile Studios. They've got you covered with 120 gigs for $120 to use across 12 months. Kogan.com. Clicking awesome. It was the Lions by 22 points. They go to 2 wins and 3 losses with a big fortnight coming up. And for Melbourne, well, they have a break as well. We'll be back after this.
What are you? Tame and King.
Fire.
5-0 Friday, thank you for your company. The US Masters is underway. What a weekend of sport it'll be. Bryson DeChambeau leads at 7-under. The best of the Aussies, Cam Davis, is 2-under through 10. So he's dropped a shot. And Cam Smith, where has he gone?
He's dropped a little bit as well.
Right down. Yeah, so he's now even through 12, tied for 30th.
Good day for the data, man. Good day
Tiger
for
Woods.
Data.
Is underway as well in his first round. He is even through four holes. So Tiger is back for another crack at the Masters. Did Adelaide dodge a bullet by not securing Harrison Petty?
Really?
Wow! Did you see what they were offering up for Petty? Now I'm led to believe it was 2 first-round draft picks.
Well, you know, it's 2 first-round draft picks. Don't give me this led to believe.
So would they go after seeing, and granted he's had a disrupted preseason and all of that, and he was okay last week, but after seeing him in action recently, do you think that offer should be off the table? There's no way I'm giving 2 first-round picks with where Adelaide are at and their desperate need to bring in fresh talent to that squad that I'm giving up 2 first-round draft picks for a player like Harrison Petty.
I'm not... The amount of players that I would give up 2 first-round draft picks for would be, I would say, 1 in every 5 years.
So we agree.
So Jeremy Cameron would be the only one of the current batch that I would have ever given up 2 first-round draft picks or more for.
So the ones of the ones that have left.
Would so you, there's the, would, there's the Treloar
about,
and...
Is, what about Horne Francis? You definitely
would I wouldn't have given up 2. No.
Oh, come on.
A midfielder. Well, you just get another one. You just go and get Georgie Wardlaw.
I'm not sure there's many running around doing what he's doing.
You'd give up 2 for him, would you?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. I wouldn't, not for a midfielder. I think that you can still find, they may not be 9.8 out of 10, they might be
what about Errol
9
Gordon?
Out of 10.
Would you have given up 2 for Errol Gordon?
No, I don't think you do. I don't think that helps your list build. I don't think it does. In the long run, tell me a team that's done it and got through it well.
I'll have to have a think about that. But what we are agreeing on is after Petty doesn't touch the footy for 3 quarters, and I'm not sure he's a forward. I'm not sure. You know, I think he's a better defender, clearly, but they have a need for him to play forward. Adelaide sitting back, and Justin Reid, I'm going, geez, we've made some errors with our list management. I don't think it's wise to go back to the well and try and give two first-round draft picks.
I like my recruiters to attach themselves to decisions too. Hey, if this one doesn't work, right, I'm going to sell the farm on this one. I'm giving away two first-rounders for Petty. And you know what? If it doesn't work, in 3 years' time, I will walk.
Well, it's the most secure job in football. Recruiters just, I mean, they stick around and they stick around. No one works out if they've made a good call until 10 years down the track. No, he'll come good.
I feel sorry for our man at the Saints, Chris Tucci. He got flicked in the first four picks of last year's draft. They're all playing for the Saints. Round six, round five.
What do you reckon, Crows fans, if there's any of you listening? And D's fans, I reckon you probably should have traded him for that offer that was on the table last year. It's time for the 7:30 news headlines. We definitely need a coffee from the Mick Cafe. All right, let's quickly name our six best players last night. Thanks to Sixt, book car and truck rental with Sixt at Sixt. That is sixt.com.au. Who'd you like, David King?
Well, I didn't put them in any particular order, but Rayner we've spoken about. Andrews I thought was brilliant. Charlie Cameron, I just can't stop watching Charlie. Dunkley was very good. McCluggage is always good. Lockie Neal in his 250th, and well done, Lockie. Gee, he's been a star, hasn't he,
yes,
of the competition.
Star.
Small stars in the midfield, they get elevated even higher. And I just threw Chandler in for Melbourne. I thought he was very good.
This is a top six, not
okay.
Seven.
All right, we'll put an extra one in. I just thought we had to have a Melbourne flavour.
See how it's six car and truck rental, and it's sort of the whole premise is to name
I'll
your
six. I'll take out Chandler then. We can't have six Brisbane players.
It's not seven
I'll take
car
Neil
and truck
out.
Rental.
I'll take Neil.
Sixt.com.au to book.
We've had a rough
day. Don't be a smart aleck about it.
We've had a rough day in here. Where's Das?
Where's Richo? I wasn't brave enough to tweet.
No, come on. Richo. I want you to do it one tweet. Richo, there are 18 teams in the competition.
Who do you cop the most fan backlash from? Is it Freo, do you think? Who gets
most upset? I engage. I don't mind feedback. And I enjoy the conversation because you do learn a lot about teams. This is where I differ from a few. I think that people that watch their team week in, week out, and they go to training and they're finger on the pulse with all the news that comes out, they know more about their team than probably we do, right? Because we're skimming 18 teams. Some are skimming, some are going a bit deeper. But I embrace that knowledge. But I get a lot of feedback from Essendon supporters. Essendon and Fremantle. Yeah, Fremantle's been a rough couple of weeks.
I thought you might get a bit from the Bombers fans, which I want to discuss with you after. What was the word? A mess? Did you say it was a mess?
Yeah, they are a mess.
Yeah, and we'll discuss that a little bit later on in the program. So, hey, Bombers fans.
We've got a Twitter poll coming up too. Just before we put it up, to put a full stop on the Melbourne-Brisbane discussion, does it change your thoughts on Melbourne on where you've got them finishing at the end of season?
I thought they'd be there on prelim final week. I said as much on Monday. No, it doesn't significantly change it, but I'd love to see Oliver get going. I think they're heavily relying on Petrarca and Oliver. And I'm just a little bit concerned about Clayton with the way that I'm seeing him handling the football and the way that he's moving. So I think they desperately need to get him going. Now, maybe the bye comes at a good time. What about for you? Has it dented your confidence in
them? Dented my confidence? No. Look, I thought they would have banked that one last night at the MCG. And Brisbane don't like hearing it, but they don't win at the MCG.
Yeah.
They've won one of something like 18 games at the MCG.
They've been okay, though. They're pretty good on grand final day.
Yep. No, they've been okay.
Night.
As Dennis Pagan used to say, you know what? You start accepting okay, son. You talk like losers.
All right.
That's how losers talk, you know. That's how losers talk.
Thanks to Choices Flooring, discover the power of colour with Spaces for Living sale. Will Melbourne, off the back of last night, finish top four this year, and has it changed your opinion of them? Just a simple yes or no. I'm led to believe we've turned the lay back on, so we can start to take some of your calls on the Mimosa Homes open line. So look out. Look out. Well, I'm prepared to go there after this. If you've been waiting to have your say on Fireball Friday, 1300 736 736, you can do that next. We're doing it all thanks to Melbourne Airport Parking. You can book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au. And powered by Kubota, take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and land pride attachments. A couple of your calls next.